All right. All right, what's the most, I'll take a few show of hands, what's the most amazing thing you've ever seen someone do? Keep it clean. Anybody want to tell me the most amazing thing you've ever seen somebody do? Oh. Trying to think, take a minute. All right, Camden's got one. Is this going to be a joke or real? Hold on, I got you.
I think it was last football game we had, someone hit stick someone.
I mean, it was a hit stick. Dallas, they hit him so hard. It was a good block. It was a block. It was a crazy block. It was amazing. Remy, what you got?
Someone have 9 heart attacks and didn't die.
Okay. That's impressive. 9 heart attacks and didn't die. I hope they were okay. All right, Harley. Hold on, I got you.
So at church camp last time, there's this one boy who kept doing backflips, and he could do a full backflip. It was amazing. So eventually, the pastors were like, come on the stage and, do a backflip. And so anyways, he ended up doing, not one, but, 5 backflips on the stage.
Wow, that's 5 backflips. You guys think I can do that? Yeah. No, I will tear up something in my body. All right, Jake, what do you got?
There's this little girl at church camp. She's about 7, and she's praying over everybody in stands. And then this one kid said he felt electric go through his body when she was praying for him.
That's right. I remember that really well. That's absolutely right.
So at my last game against Hillcrest, so there was some ninth grader. I was 16. He was 6'5", already dunking. It was crazy.
6'5", already dunking. Man, that was me in high school, you know? Yeah. All right. Anybody else got one? Anybody else got one? Going once. Going twice. Oh. One more. One more. Last one.
Cam Scataboo doing a backflip and not tearing his ACL.
Cam Scataboo. Being that stocky and being able to just backflip it. Some of these NFL guys are insanely talented. Tonight we're going to hear about somebody who did, I think, is the greatest human physical feat, besides Jesus being resurrected from the dead, of course. We're going to learn about when Jesus walked on water, and that is an amazing thing, and I'll go through some physics of that in a minute, but it's pretty amazing how Jesus was able to do that. So we're going to read in Matthew chapter 14, we're going to start reading verse 22, and this is what it says. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside to pray by himself. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said. And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." The first thing, we're going to learn 3 things tonight, all right? I'm going to tell you what they are right now. We're going to learn we can trust Jesus, that trust will get tested, and our goal is to keep our eyes on Jesus. And so the first thing I want to tell you is that we can absolutely trust Jesus. And the first thing I notice in this verse, if we're at verse 22 and we're looking at that, it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side. So Jesus knows everything, right? He can see forward in time. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knew they were going to be in a storm, like a crazy storm. And you know what he did? He sent them on the boat anyway. He sent them on the boat knowing they were going to go through this storm. He knew the storm was going to happen. And here's the good thing is that he also knew he was going to show up. And so one thing I want you guys to know tonight is whatever's going on in your life, whatever storm, stressful thing you have going on, Jesus already sees how he's going to meet you in that storm. He will never put you in a storm that he cannot help you through. All right? He won't do that to you. He will be there. Of course, it's your choice to let him meet with you and help you in that storm. But Jesus will never put you in a storm that he cannot pull you through. And Jesus will never put you in a storm that he's not walking with you through. All right? So that's one of the first things we find here. That was true for the disciples. Jesus knew the storm was coming, and he sent them that way anyway. And the disciples that day, they were in a crazy, crazy storm. Try to picture this with me, like a wooden boat. This boat's just made of wood, right? Wood planks all nailed together. It's a, like 2,000 years ago boat, and they're in this thing, and it was an actual hurricane-type storm, researchers say. Like 80-mile-an-hour winds just crashing in on the boat. It would have been the worst storm these guys likely would have ever been in. And, you know, if you're sitting there thinking about what that's like, you're probably worried. Like, are we going to capsize and turn over? Is water just going to fill the boat? Is the boat going to be pulled apart? Like, what's going to happen? Are we just going to get thrown overboard? And so you're thinking about all these crazy things that could happen because you're seeing the wind crash the waves. You're feeling the boat going crazy. And then what happens? You see what you think is a ghost walking towards you. Like, how crazy, like, if matters can't get any worse, you see, like, a ghost walking on the water toward you. And it says that the disciples were absolutely terrified. But then you hear these words. Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And you realize it's not a ghost, it's Jesus. It's Jesus meeting them right there. He was literally walking on the water. And I think some of us, we've heard this story so many times that we kind of just dismiss that, oh yeah, Jesus walked on the water. People aren't supposed to walk on the water. Like, that ain't supposed to happen, right? If you think about that. In the 1990s, Harvard professors did research, and they wanted to figure out, can a human walk on the water? And they found that they can. If they can, like, their feet can hit the water at 98 feet per second. 98 feet per second. If their feet can slap the water that quick, they can kind of go across. So, football fans, you know, how do they measure speed at the NFL Combine? 40-yard dash. That's right, 40-yard dash. 98 feet per second would be a really fast 40-yard dash, okay? So, the fastest 40-yard dash in the NFL Combine ever is 4.21 seconds. And when somebody ran that, like, it went viral. Internet goes crazy. Everybody's talking about it. Oh, my goodness. It's all over the place. Well, if somebody ran 98 feet per second, it wouldn't be like a 4.21 second 40-yard dash. It'd be a 1.2 second 40-yard dash going from the end zone to the 40-yard line in 1 point. Boom. Yeah, that's snap. Yeah. So it's like really, really fast, right? There you go. Thank you, guys. Snap for me. So Jesus, it says here in our verse, it says Jesus walked on the water toward them. Jesus, did it say Jesus ran a 1.2 40-yard dash? No. He walked toward them. He wasn't like feet slapping the water at 98 feet a second going around the boat so he could like make it work. He's just walking on the water. He's probably just strolling like this. Was Jesus stressed out in that moment? Jesus isn't stressed out in your heavy moments either. Jesus could just walk on the water because he had power over it. He has power over everything. All right? So he can do anything. And that's the first thing, one of the first things we learn is that we can trust him. And you know what? You can learn a lot about a Bible story based off of what happens before, what happens after it. So check this out. Like this timeline of Jesus walking on water, we're just looking at that story. But some things happened before that. Jesus was in this place. He's teaching thousands of people. And they get out there, they're in the wilderness, they have nothing to eat. You guys know this story, some of you do. We talked about it a while back. Two fishes, five loaves of bread. Wait, other way around. Not much food. Jesus multiplies it and feeds like 20,000 people that day, right? Including like men, women, and children. Tons of people got fed from like a handful of food. So that happens. After all that happened, he sends the disciples on the boat. He dismisses the crowd. The disciples are out there on the boat. Jesus shows up. He's walking on the water, not supposed to be able to do that. And then he gets in the boat. It says that the storm completely calmed. All right? So then the boat gets to the other side. They're at a place called Gennesaret. They're over there. And these people, they had never seen Jesus, but they had heard about him. And so they know what he can do. So they get to this place. Immediately people are like, that's the dude. That's the dude healing everyone, fixing everything for everybody. They go from all over the place and bring all kinds of sick people, diseased people, everything you can imagine. And if you read in Matthew 14, it says that basically people would just try to get to Jesus and think if they could just touch the bottom of his robe, they would be healed. And it says as many people did that, touched the bottom of his robe, all of them were healed. And so this story about walking on water is right in the middle of that. So let's recap that. He makes 20,000 fish show up from basically nothing, feeds 1,000 of people. He defies the laws of physics by doing something a human body's not supposed to do, walk on water. He then shows that he has power over the weather because he jumps in the boat, all the storm dies down. And then he shows his power over sickness and disease by healing people, all right there in Matthew 14. And what that shows is that he can make food appear, he can walk on water, he can calm storms, he can heal everybody. There is nothing that Jesus can't do. That's what that shows us, all that together. There is nothing that Jesus can't do. No problem is too big for him. Anything you have going on, it's not like God's like, oh, I'm tapped out on power. You have to come back tomorrow. It ain't like that. I don't know about y'all. I get tired. I get worn out. I run out of energy. God doesn't run out of energy. God doesn't face a problem that's too big for him. He can do anything. If he can do all the things I just listed, then what problem do you have in your life that Jesus can't fix? What do you have in your life that Jesus can't help you with? There's nothing. There's nothing. And so when we think about that, the first thing we learn tonight, we can trust Jesus. And we can trust him because he can handle anything, anything you have. Second thing we learn tonight is that our trust will get tested. Our trust will get tested. Matthew or verse 28 says this. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. So Peter had been with Jesus long enough. He'd seen all this stuff happen. He's like, all right, I know he can do anything, and so I trust him. So I'm going to ask him to call me out of the boat. He can do that, right? Jesus calls him out. Peter makes that decision to step out of the boat. Think he's in the boat. Everything's wild and crazy. He's like, okay. Probably puts his hand on the side. His feet are on secure, solid ground. He probably hoists himself over onto the water, looking at Jesus. Does he sink down right away? He's standing on the water. He's doing it, right? He's just literally standing there on the water. Peter didn't become superhuman. Peter wasn't running a 1.2-second 40-yard dash. All he was doing was trusting Jesus. He was just trusting Jesus. That's what it was. But then things changed for Peter. This is what it says in verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. And that first phrase, all right, pay attention to that first phrase, when he saw the wind. Peter trusted Jesus enough to get out of the boat, but then his faith got tested when he saw the wind around him. Listen, there will be plenty of times that you trust Jesus, like, okay, Jesus, we're doing this thing. And then you get hit with something that makes it a lot more difficult to keep trusting, right? Peter saw the wind. For you, it might be something different. For you, it might be, hey, God, I trust you're going to help me in school. And then you get to that part of algebra that makes it a lot harder, right? I said a dirty word. How did Chris and I were talking about algebra earlier. It might be something different, though, all right? It might be the fact that you're praying, God, help me on this team. You know, I'm doing my best on this team. And then your shooting goes cold. Coach benches you. Like you're not starting all of a sudden. It's like Peter. When Peter saw the wind, for you, you seeing your wind might be getting benched, right? It could be different. You could trust God. Hey, God, help me with stuff at home. And then you get in trouble for something you didn't mean to do. You forgot to do something. You get in trouble. It's like all of a sudden you're trusting Jesus, right? You're locked in. God's helping me, helping this thing get better. But then you see the trouble around you and you see, oh man, it's a lot harder to trust all of a sudden. Because I thought things were going to go this way and now they're kind of going this way. That's what happened with Peter. He got his eyes off of Jesus and he had a harder time trusting. Maybe it's you want to lead someone to school to Jesus, right? You're hoping, you're praying for this person. They don't believe in God or whatever it might be. And then next thing you know, they reject everything you say. They're rejecting everything you say. And it becomes a little bit harder to trust God to lead that person to him. Whenever I was a kid, my dad told me this story. And my family didn't have much money or anything. And like, you know, just ate whatever we could find and a lot of stuff like that. It was tough, but my dad always tried to give and make a difference when he could. And there was one time he was a school bus driver, he was a preacher, he cleaned carpets and was a bus driver. He like held all these different jobs he would do all at the same time. And so he's driving a bus one afternoon, and this kid didn't have any money, didn't have a backpack. He's like lugging all of his books around, dropping them. It's a little kid, and my dad felt compassion for him. And, you know, he said, hey, so why don't you have a backpack? And the kid's like, well, my family can't get one. We don't have the money for one. And my dad, he had like 20 bucks with him, or 10 bucks, whatever it was. And he gave the kid that money, knowing, like, we needed that money, right? And there was somebody on the bus with him, like an adult. My dad was teaching them how to drive buses and all that. They were learning. And my dad said, watch, God is going to take care of me. I can trust God. God's going to give me that money back. Watch. And then at church that night, somebody just randomly came and gave my dad 20 bucks. So when we trust God, watch what God can do. But your trust will be tested. My dad's trust got tested because he thought about the fact that we need that money at home, right? We need that money for food. That was a test of his trust. When God put it in his heart to give, his trust got tested. Our trust is going to get tested all the time. Are you still willing to go talk to that person about Jesus? Are you still willing to keep reading your Bible when it feels like you don't understand it sometimes? Are you still willing to pray when things don't seem to be going the way you want? Our trust gets tested, all right? And Peter's trust got tested that day when he saw the wind, right? And we tend to see wind and get tested sometimes. And so the first thing we learn is that we can trust Jesus. The second thing we learn is that our trust is going to get tested. And now the third and final thing we're going to learn is this. We should keep our focus on Jesus. Verse 30 says this. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. Peter, he needed to keep his eyes locked in on Jesus, right? He was walking on that water, but he began to sink. And when he looked back to Jesus, he looked to him again, Jesus lifted him up. Sometimes we're going to get things wrong. Sometimes we're going to make mistakes. Sometimes we're going to give in to temptation. Sometimes anger will get us. Jealousy will get us. Fear and anxiety will get us. And in those moments, like Peter had, we still have that option. Not all hope is lost. Because it's in the middle of that, you can still look up and say, Jesus, help me. That's all Peter did. A few simple words, right? He simply said, he cried out and said, Lord, save me. That's all it was. And sometimes that's all he wants from us. He doesn't look to you to have all the answers. He doesn't look to you to be perfect. He knows you're going to make mistakes. But are you willing, when you get in that spot, just to look up and say, Lord, save me. Jesus, help me. I was trusting you. We were locked in. And I got my eyes off of you. And I started to sink. And so this third thing we got to do is keep our focus on Jesus. And what does that look like? It looks like when we get tested, we keep reading our Bible, right? We keep coming to youth group. It means we keep our eyes on Jesus by trying to have the fruits of the Spirit in our life, of trying to make the decisions. When we get tested, our trust gets tested. It means we're trying to choose the right friends. That's how we keep our eyes on Jesus. There's all kinds of ways that we do that. But I just want to tell you tonight, you guys can all stand together. And I really feel like there's some people here who you feel like Peter, not when he first stepped out of the boat. He had all this courage. You may feel like Peter right now when he started to sink. And you feel like all around you, you want your feet to be on solid ground, but you find yourself just sinking more and more and more. And I want you to know that even if you're sinking because of your own bad decisions, Jesus still will pick you up from where you are. He still wants to pick you up from where you are. Because like we talked about a few minutes ago, he's a God of love. He doesn't want you to sink. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants to pull you out. Heavenly Father, I just ask for every person in this room that you would speak to them right now and that you would just pull at their heart with your love. Remind them how much you love them. And that you have power over the waves going on around their life. And it's a power not just, oh, cool, you got the power, but no, it's a power to pull them out into safety. So without anybody looking around right now, if you feel like that's you tonight, and you feel like you're sinking and you need Jesus to pull you out of the water, I just want you to make your way up here. Ask some of our leaders to come on up. And just find someone to pray for. Jesus wants to meet with you in these altars. He doesn't want to leave you where you are, all right? We're going to call on him to meet with us. I would ask all the rest of you just come on up, find a place to pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for what you're going to do in these altars. And we're thankful that you're the one who pulls us out. We can't walk on water with our own strength, but you can pull us out. And I ask that you would do that tonight in Jesus' name.